Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I was a lad, I had to go to church. And I remember not being, frankly, all that happy at the prospect. Church was something that I had to do. And we would go, and there we would be with all of my parents' friends and a few of my friends, and we would pull out the old green book, which was brand new way back then. And we would do setting one every Sunday, ad nauseum, over and over. And the adults would have a grand old time, and they'd talk and they'd sing and they'd do all of these kinds of stuff. And most of us teenagers found a little spot over in the corner. It was perfect. This morning, my good friend Colin was here. And through the whole first part of the service, he is a great illustration. But it reminded me of my experience as a young person in worship. Holy smokes, we have to go again? Really? And then even worse, after church, they would all go have coffee. Right? So at 10:30, we would go to the restaurant and we would have coffee and they would drink coffee and coffee and coffee all the way until lunchtime. And we'd have lunch. We just had breakfast. And you know what follows lunch? More coffee. It was excruciating. It wasn't until much later that, like some of you, I began to understand worship and the Sabbath. Not as something that I had to do, a holy obligation, or, as I like to think of it, holy obligatory, but instead as something that I got to do. Something I could look forward to. When Jesus is looking at the Sabbath for this day, I think that's part of what Jesus is trying to get at. In our first lesson for this morning, you have the people of Israel who have been deprived in the exile. They've been deprived of their place of worship, of their practice of worship, and now in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, they're beginning to come back, and they're beginning to reform as a people. And God says, if you remove the yoke from among you, and the pointing finger, and the speaking of evil, and all of that stuff, the Lord will guide you continually. The ancient ruins will be built up, raise up the foundation of the many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach. Wouldn't you like that on your headstone? John Doe, repairer of the breach. For generations, people would wonder, But that's what God promises them. If only you will stop all of this nonsense, you too will have this title. And then if you refrain from trampling on the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride the heights of the earth. This language can sometimes be taken to say, you know, if you do all these things, if you honor Sabbath, if you come to worship and you go to church every week, then I'm going to do something good for you. But I don't think that's what they're trying to get at. And also, I don't think they're trying to get at what naturally comes to me when I hear something like, if you do this, then you'll get this. I'm always thinking, and if I don't, you will not be called the repairer of the breach. Right? And so sometimes worship, the celebration of the Sabbath, can become an obligation. It can even become a duty to which we really don't give ourselves. How many of you grew up with the idea that church was something you had to do? The Castro kids. You know, it's like work. It's like work at a job that you don't like. I'm going for the paycheck. I'm going so Jesus will love me. Right? But later, and I think this is what Christ gets at, the celebration of the Sabbath becomes something more. In the gospel story, Jesus is there on the Sabbath, and there's preaching and singing and all the things that go on in the Sabbath, and a woman comes to him. He sees this woman who has been bent over for 18 years, and he lays hands on her, and she's healed. Right there in the middle of worship, something substantive happens. And what do the church officials do? You can't have that kind of thing happening in church. We'll have no healing, we'll have no fun, we'll have nothing really good happening in here. This is the Lord's day. And then they turn to the crowd and say, all of you people, you have 6 days to come here and get healed and all of that kind of practical sort of stuff. Why do you have to come today? And Jesus' response is so powerful. Which of you does not untie his donkey or his ox from the manger so that they can receive life-giving water? If you can take care of your animals on that Sabbath day, surely, surely we can heal. And they have no answer. The work of the Sabbath is healing and transformation. It's being brought from where we are to where God will bring us. Incredible things happen on the Sabbath. The trick for us is to be open to the possibility and to expect it to happen to us and our community. I find it ironic that here in the scripture they point out that no work is to be done on the Sabbath, and yet we are a liturgical church. The word liturgy means the work of the people. That's what you're here for. To do work together. The question is, does it change you? Are you affected by it? Do you take it into your hearts? So often worship becomes something that we just consume like anything else. Well, what's in it for me? What did I get out of it today? Oh gosh, I sure didn't like that hymn. Or my favorite, I wonder if Pastor prepared that sermon or not. But we miss the gift of the Holy Spirit. We miss that you bring something to worship. My friend Karen, one of her professors, said, you know, if at the end of worship, God's word is left lying on the floor, we've missed something. In holy worship, God's gives us all of God's grace and God's words. We hear songs and preaching and reading, and it's just thrown out there for all of you to receive. What do you do with it? If at the end of our service today we have to have Bob go around with the broom and sweep up all the stuff that you left behind, then we've missed the Sabbath. The Sabbath was in the beginning God's gift for us, that we might be refreshed and renewed, that we might be changed by receiving God's word and God's spirit, by gathering with God's people to engage in mutual consolation and prayer and praise. And if we go away unscathed, if we manage again to escape from church and be exactly like we were when we came in, then we've left God's word on the floor. What Jesus calls us to is to be open to the work of God, the ways in which God truly straightens up our bentness, heals us from our infirmity, and calls us to stand straight up and glorify God. And so we remember the Sabbath and we keep it holy. But more than remember it, we live it, we inhale it, we ingest it, we are set free by it. No longer is worship something that we have to do. Worship is a gift that we get to do in Christ. Amen.